species wildlife with my mom. I mean, I'm German. Okay, no. This is wildlife with my mom.
She's on the show for the third time, so she must be doing something right, at least in my opinion. Tali Lindberg, she's the founder of Orange Hatter Sisterhood and co-founder of Free Market Kids, and has spent over 20 years in homeschooling. So this woman, she has something to say. Please enjoy the conversation.
I can see you.
Alex, I can see you. Maybe it was on my side. That's so weird.
That is fucked up, really. I hate stuff like that. It's because I never understand it, and I feel so stupid. And most of the times, it's just technology doesn't work all the time how it's intended.
No, but we figured it out. High five! Yay!
We did it. High five! Proud of us.
So I still sound okay, right? I want to make sure you have good quality. Okay, cool. Awesome. There we go. Now we're ready to go. That was just warm up. That's just warming up.
A little bit of adrenaline before recording.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Cool. So thank you so much for being, I think, the third time on my show. And someone asked me, like, why do you invite people over and over again? Why don't you find new guests? And I was like, dude, because it is way more fun to invite people you already know, because you know them. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, hanging out with strangers, I don't like it. I'm an introvert, so I love it. So I'm super happy that you're back.
Thank you for having me back. I've a lot of things have happened since the last time we spoke, so I'm happy to come and update and have fun chatting. It's like I got my coffee here. It's like a coffee chat.
Oh, I would love to have a coffee, but I stopped drinking coffee again, and this time it's really hard. But I enjoy seeing you drinking coffee, honestly. Beautiful. Yeah. Tell us, what is new out there? What's happening in your life? Give us an update.
Well, since the last time we spoke, I've really been kicking my effort to reach parents into high gear and really focusing on my message of, before you talk about money literacy, you really need to build a foundation of strong character and inner confidence. That's something that has become more and more clear, because Scott and I, my husband and I, we are so passionate about spreading the knowledge about how our monetary system works, that when we engage people who are not yet in the Bitcoin space, we're just noticing more and more that the missing foundation, if they jump right into talking about money, it's not well received generally. But if we jump in and start from the very beginning, like backing way up, and I'm really focusing on younger children, that if we can just establish a good relationship with them, that's really always priority number one. And in the establishing of that relationship, helping them be very, very clear of their own inner value and their self-worth, then they are so receptive to things you teach them. And even if you don't overtly give them a lecture, just picking up bits and pieces from you is possible and natural. But if we skip all of that and we jump right into money literacy, we just have found that it doesn't work very well at all. So that's been my focus, is reaching, like backing up and backing up and backing up, until now I'm really talking to parents with toddlers and maybe preschoolers and possibly kindergartners.
Nice. I like that. Because I think it's true, like emotional connection and feeling well about yourself and the other person and their relationship is so much more important than the topic sometimes. Because I really think we learn through relationships and through connecting. Yes. And what I really believe and saw the last couple of weeks was, because funny. I had the same thing in my mind because I don't really know what it was about, but I wanted to teach my child. It was about Bitcoin as well because we have a new hardware wallet. And I really wanted him to know exactly how to use everything. And he just skipped the lesson, so to say. He wasn't really interested. And when he saw me doing this with a lot of passion and really being super focused, then he stepped in, but he was more interested in my point of view instead of I teach him how to use that wallet. So I felt like, okay, I need to step back from this teaching point of view to just living, really just living. And if there's a good connection and I'm on a topic and he jumps in, then still I need to stay focused to not become the teacher again, but to stay present and just present and be aware of whatever is there in between. And what I saw is that he's learning much more in lesser time and way more intensive. Like, stuff goes so deep then because he wasn't concentrating on this. He was in emotion and these kind of things. So it went way deeper. And sometimes he learns stuff that I didn't even mention. I don't know where he pulls that information from, but I have the feeling when they're really open and peaceful in an active connection, they can pull it from, I don't know, the universe. I believe that 100% now because I've seen it with my child. I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, I think
so. Tell me, how do you do that?
Yeah. And I want to go right into the heart of the matter, which is the assumptions we hold about our children. We were talking about this before we hit record. Children are incredible. Their minds are literally, I mean, we joke about it, but their minds are like a sponge. Yeah. Honestly, truly, all human beings to survive must have the ability to absorb information. You know, we joke about you can't teach all those old dogs new tricks, but that's just not true. It's that curiosity that opens the door of understanding. Like what you're saying, when your son got curious, his mind will lead him, his soul will lead him to the right information, and it's going to speak to him, and he's going to be able to incorporate it so much more when their door is open. And so when we go in with the assumption that we must teach them, then we forgot the other part of the dance partner. We're dance partners, really, mom and child, dad and child, that both people have to play a part in the learning. So if we think of it as a one-way street, like a spoon feeding kind of, open your mouth, I'm going to give you information, then what you're not understanding is that the mouth might be open, but the throat is closed. You know, you can't force a horse drink water, even if they're very thirsty, you bring them to the water trough. And so if our assumption is they are capable, they are already everything they need to be, it just needs to play itself out, then we approach teaching in such a different way. So when I talk about helping them build inner confidence, I think society really has, over the last several decades, taught us to bring the attention of reward, this whole system of reward, outside the children. What I love about wild schooling is their reward is the gaining of the knowledge, which is a very natural human response. But if we bring the reward outside, like, hey, if you do this homework, I'll give you a sticker. If you finish the race, even if you come in last place, I'm going to give you a certificate. So we're rewarding them with external praises. Oh, good job. Good job. Thank you. Thank you. Like that. Words of praise, stickers, really meaningless trophies. What we're telling them is the only benefit of the experience is outside myself. So when we even talk to them about kindness, instead of kindness being a natural human response that brings yourself joy, like the reward is the joy you experience when you show kindness to other people, we brought it outside of themselves. If you're kind to someone, I'm going to give you a lollipop, something like that, you know? So my premise is, let's assume that all human beings are good. Let's assume all human beings want to thrive. And let's assume that all human beings are loving in nature. Our only job is to spotlight their right behavior. So for example, what I teach parents to do is only 5 to 10 minutes a night, because they might have to work and the kids have activities and things. So when they're winding down, you could just sit and cuddle and read Dr. Seuss, of course. But what if we incorporated just 5 minutes of intentional conversation and we ask one simple question? In what way did you make a difference in the world today? That sounds like a really big question. So I change it to, in what way were you heroic today? In what way were you a hero today? Now, there are 5 ways to be heroic, in my opinion. You can be heroic to yourself through self-care. You can be heroic to your family, community, animals, and you can be heroic in the traditional superhero way, in that you do something brave that you are afraid to do. So those 5 things. But we're not asking them to do all 5 things. We're not asking them to do anything at all. All we're doing is helping them review the day and pick out one thing that they did that made a difference. So for example, you're at night, you know, cuddling with your son, it's time for him to go to bed. In what way did you make a difference today? He can say, in terms of self-care, instead of sitting in the house and playing video games, I went outside. That's heroic to his body, right? That's self-care. So draw a picture, write a sentence. What was your superpower? His superpower can be his legs because he ran outside. His superpower could be his saying hello, you know, to his friend when he was outside. But every day, one thing, spotlighting. So the next day, let's say you say, hey, in what way did you do something that made a difference? In what way were you heroic? And he said, well, mom was really tired today and I bought her a cup of tea. Well, it's a passing moment that you usually wouldn't even think twice about. It happened in 10, 15 seconds maybe. But if you spotlight it and you say, you know what, in that moment, it made a difference for your mom. So draw a picture, write a sentence. What was your superpower? Could be your hands, could be because you brought the tea, could be your eyes because you saw that your mom was tired. And then the next day, and the next day. And I see it as dropping pebbles into a pond that creates a small ripple. Then it gets bigger and bigger because of the compound effect of you making your child feel like he can make a difference is the tidal wave that eventually will build this unshakable inner confidence of their what they believe, their sense of value, and their confidence that they can make things happen. Then think about the ripple effect of that one child in the social group that he comes in contact with, because human beings are attracted to positive energy. So this child, the tidal wave, of course, or the ripples, one of them is positive energy about self, self-image, right? So people lean into positive energy. So now he can also affect the people around him without saying anything, just energetically, right? And then the other thing is also that it is the best protection you can give your child against the crazy stuff that's happening in the world. Because all parents worry that when their kids get older and outside their sphere of influence, they can be exposed to things like drugs and alcohol and bad decisions that would have bad consequences. But with a child that has a positive self-image, will look at those bad things and say, that doesn't align with the way I look at myself. I choose not to participate. That's the best protection, because you can't possibly, as a parent, watch everything that they come in contact with. That's not possible. You have to allow your child to make those choices, which is why I love the idea of wild schooling, because you are allowing them to get that positive, negative response through their own choices. But if you add on top of that, even just this very intentional pebble effect of building up their inner confidence, then oh my gosh. Yeah.
I love it. And I love wild schooling a lot, because I just had a conversation with my dad. He's on the island where we live. I don't know what he's doing here exactly. He's not here for us. But we had this conversation about he wanted to meet my child to go for an ice cream or something like that. And I was like, I have to speak to him because I don't know his schedule. And I don't know if he even has, I don't know, the feeling to go there and stuff like that. And my dad was like, okay, so that is weird. First of all, how do you organize normally? And I was like, I don't organize at all. We just live. And he was like about, yeah, there are no rules, obviously. He can do whatever. And I was like, okay, great start for a meeting. Great start, first of all. And secondly, we have natural rules. I'm a human being. I have my limits. And he is a human being with his limits. That's it. This is what we do. Nothing more. We have no unnatural rules or anything. And he was like, it's too wild. And I was like, oh my God, if you would knew, if you would just have an idea of what the goal for me is to be wild. Right. This is exactly what I've had in mind when I started unschooling. I want a wild kid. So wild schooling is fascinating for me. And I really like what you said, like once a day to check in. I really think this builds awareness, a lot of awareness for yourself, for others, for your environment, for your actions, for your well-being, your body, everything, I guess. And I really like that because I think what a lot of people dismiss when raising kids is awareness. They are always like distracting their kids from everything. Oh, I need to fill up their time with this and that and this and that. And yeah, it might be fun. But this overwhelming, I don't know, process of going through one adventure, then the next adventure and so on. I don't know. I think awareness is so fucking important nowadays. I mean, the world is changing so rapidly. There's nothing that we can hold on to at the moment. It's just like one crazy thing after the other. So we have to stay with ourselves. And you said something about energies. I would like to hear what you think about energies. I think you are, I think we already had a conversation about that. And I was completely in love with your idea of energies, because I really think this is so important in everyday life. And I, we moved from one, I forgot the English word for pueblo, village, to the other, to another village. And now we have, of course, different neighbors, and we know them very well. It's my best friend, and they have such a nice energy. They're just very calm. They do a lot of meditation. They're really good human beings from their heart. There's nothing crazy about them. I've never seen them in any way acting up or being disgusting to somebody or an animal or anything. So this energy really comes through, and we are so happy without doing anything different. It's just this energy is coming and I can locate it. It's almost like I can see it. And I swear to you, the people who lived here before, they had a lot of plants in the garden, but they were all dead. And we moved in and a couple of days later, the plants were back to good. And I was like, okay, I didn't do anything to them. It was just our energy. So I always was a firm believer in energy, but I never saw or had such an just a visual proof that this is what it is. And now I have it and it's incredible. So tell me more how you approach energy and what that means for you.
I think ultimately, even the idea of energy comes down to our assumptions. I tell the kids this story often, which is, especially on the road, right? Because that's where you experience road rage.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, that's our interpretation because we don't know why the other person cut you off. And we interpret it as cutting off. But really what happened was a person in a car made a decision to shift lanes, in your opinion, too close to you. So we give it a label. I got cut off. He cut me off. And then the anger just kind of bubbles up. But it is based on the way we view what's happening and our definition of what's happening. So that's our assumptions. What if we found out the driver had a wife who was in labor and screaming because the baby's coming? we don't even have to consciously change our behavior when we understand it in the context of what's happening. Our natural response is sympathy. Of course, go, go, go. You know, like I'll step on my brake and let you go. What if, sorry, what if the person, quote unquote, cut you off because he really needed to go to the bathroom? Will we be angry still? No, we're going to be like, please go, please go. Go, there's a bathroom right there, right? It has to do with our assumptions. I'm going to guess your neighbor's assumption is that the world is generally good and that people are generally good. The energy that follows is then effortless. You don't have to create with force or willpower a positive energy field around you if you already assume that the world is generally good and people are generally good. And of course, there are bad things happening out there, but the bad things in general are a very small percentage compared to the good things that are happening. But if we focus on the bad things, then we're going to be on edge. Then that energy you carry with you because you are on guard looking for danger, that's what people feel. So in my opinion, the fastest way to change your own energy is to become aware of your assumptions and then question if those assumptions help you or hurt you. In the same way, when we interact with our children, if we assume intentional disobedience, if I say, go pick up your room, and my son says, hold on, and my assumption is he's disrespecting me, let's say, I'm going to be angry, which then will trigger a spiral of negative emotions from him. But if I assume there is something legitimate that he is working on, that if I break his concentration right now, it will set him back, then I can back off. Our relationship remains positive. Eventually, he will get to his room. Like, really, how important is it that his bed is made immediately, except that I want him to obey me, right? So all we have to do is become aware of our assumptions toward our children and especially their behavior, which we don't agree with. Then the energy between us, my energy, his energy, will naturally shift. And I feel like that is the easiest way to look at that energy that feels so, for some people, like so woo-woo. It's really not. Mm-hmm. It's actually just a very natural manifestation, I think.
True. You know what I really like? I grew up with a lot of stress. So every day was just stress. And I was always looking forward to coming back from school and I really had anxiety for years. And sometimes I had panic attacks to open a door. Because as a kid, when I opened the door, I never knew how was the mood, what was expecting me. And I think 3 or 4 years ago, I had my last panic attack in front of a door. And I only made it through the change of my energy. Because I always, I was asking myself, why the fuck am I always afraid to open a door? It's impossible to come home and be afraid. What is in there? If there was a murder, I mean, I have a dog. What could happen? I mean, and the cat is inside. Probably she would have eaten the murder already. So, and when I changed my perception of doors, I never had a panic attack again. And people were asking me, oh, you went to therapy. Finally, it's so good for you. No, I didn't. I just was very aware of one moment, very present, very reflective. And then I was able to let that feeling go and it never came back. And today I cannot imagine being so afraid of doors or opening them, but it's true. And I really had a talk with my son about how much anxiety I have, and he has none whatsoever. He's very, I don't know, settled in himself. He's very confident with everything. And then I realized how smart he is. He didn't pick up my anxiety. I mean, I probably picked up a lot of anxiety from my mom, but he didn't. And I, yeah, so we've been talking about energy and how perceiving things really changes how you act and how, what you attract as well. And I think, yeah, we've been on and off with what we attract, manifestation and so on. He's really into that at the moment. So this is why we're into energy as well. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I would like to know, how do you talk to your kids about energy, frequencies, manifestation, and all these things? Because for most parents, I'm a fucking freak. And I think, no, it's true. He can manifest from now to next second. He manifested a dog. He manifested the next dog. It is for him like ordering on Amazon. If I need something, I go on Amazon. If he needs something, he meditates. You know what I mean? And it's real. So I feel a bit like I'm a broken human being because I don't have the power to manifest what I want the next day or the next second. He can. So what, how did you approach that topic?
Yeah, I love that. Well, I feel like the way you and I grew up probably had a lot of similarities. I grew up in an Asian household where children had no voice. You were just told to do what you're supposed to do, and your feelings don't matter and should be hidden because nobody wants to hear about it. And so I it took me decades to overcome this idea that things inside me make no difference because nobody cares. You're just supposed to do your duty. Until you figure that out, you can't even begin to talk about energy. So it was a very long, slow healing process for me to get to the point where I can even contemplate the idea of manifestation, because why on earth would I be able to do that? My feelings don't matter, right? So
yes, creepy, isn't it?
Yeah. So when I started to get into the realm of energy and manifestation, I was so excited because by that time I had been doing healing work for several decades, and I came to it quite late, very recently, really. And I had raised my kids, because my kids are much older than yours, I had raised my kids with all the wounds that I carry from my own childhood. So as much as I talk now about positive energy, I wasn't like that when they were younger, unfortunately for them. But it was just a path we had to walk together. And they have taught me so much through our interactions. They played a huge part in my healing. I apologize to them openly. I'm like, I'm sorry that when you were younger, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And it's up to you now to go heal yourself. I try my best though. But when I started talking about energy, when I started talking about energy, they were already teenagers, and they my girls actually did believe in it, but I don't think I taught them right. And so they experimented with it and it didn't give them the result they wanted. So now they're just like, it doesn't work. I continue to believe it works in terms of what you're saying about your son. I think that is such a gift that he has. My boys, they are like their dad, very logical. And they think it's all woo-woo stuff, unfortunately. But I wasn't able to demonstrate it or even talk about it when they were at the age when they would have been open to it without questioning the sanity of it, I guess, or the logic of it. Mm-hmm. So now they have to walk their own path and find it. But I continue to believe in it. And I do believe that it is absolutely possible. Actually, as a joke, it wasn't really a joke. My kids think it's a joke, but I'm not. I'm serious. I came across this woman who teaches people how to bend metal spoons with your mind. Now, I haven't taken her workshop. I really want to, because with all of my heart, I believe it's possible. But my kids think it's crazy. And it's somebody.
No, it's not. You go there and you tell me how it was.
I said, what are you guys going to say when I hold up a metal spoon and I can build it right in front of your eyes? I have no idea if that works like that. I don't know. I'm sure you have to focus so hard, you know, like you have to really laser focus your mental energy. But I absolutely believe it's possible. So
I think we'll I think we all have different superpowers. I think my son's superpower is manifestation. I didn't figure out what mine is yet. Maybe healing, because all my animals are always healthy. And I was recently asked, why you're never going to the vet? Yeah, because I think they're getting sick because you're going there, not the other way around. And people always bring me their pets and they heal and then I give them back. And they were like, well, what have you done? Nothing. They just lived with us. Maybe this is mine. Maybe yours is bending objects. That would be crazy.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I just find it fascinating. If I didn't have to do anything else in the world, I just want to learn how I can use energy to heal. That's where my greatest curiosity is, because it's just I grew up with a science background, you know, and science and math and Western technology advancement stuff. So I just had no exposure to energy discussions at all. And now I'm just absolutely fascinated by it. Like, I love the idea of Reiki healing. I love any kind of energy. I can name them all now, but I'm reading books on it all the time, because if we will ourselves, because that's what we're taught, especially in the Asian culture, you got to will yourself through things you hate, you know, because ultimately you want to get to security, like this idea of job security and stuff. And so you got to do it. Even if you hate it, you got to will yourself through it. And I'm like, but the energy, the positive energy is so much more powerful. That's what I'm learning more and more is it's 1,000 times more powerful than negative energy. So why not use the powerful energy? There are all different ways to be successful in life. Yeah.
And it's so efficient, isn't it? And because I had the same discussion with my parents and they were like, yeah, this is kind of lazy what you do. You cannot just meditate and hope for something. And I was like, actually, this is way more efficient, because I studied myself what makes more impact. Like, if I'm into the action and I hate it, or if I'm into meditating and wishing or hoping or creating a solution that resonates. And that is mostly a solution I cannot even think about logically. So why do I have to pressure myself through something I hate to get a result? That doesn't make sense for me anymore. So it's so much more efficient to just step back. But so many people don't realize that in your stepping back, power, being with yourself, that is where the energy comes from. This is where the source, where you can connect with the source. I think it's very interesting, to be honest. What is your favorite book on energy stuff? Oh, sorry.
Ooh. Well, I was going to just comment really quickly on alignment. I heard years and years ago from, she's a Christian teacher called Joyce Meyer, and she talked about God's grace all the time, which I feel like translation is alignment. And she said she would do things that other people would think would be so difficult, but she had ease and flow in it. And then one day it became difficult for her. And she said she knew that God's grace had left and it was time for her to switch direction. And in my mind, the translation again is she was aligned until a fork in the road, and she was meant to pivot. Therefore, she followed ease and flow, which in her vocabulary, she called God's grace. But really, that's what you're doing, is you're following the unspoken direction, the feeling of ease and flow. And when you're in it, like what you were saying before with your son, when you're in the flow, you can achieve incredible things, even intellectually, you know, using your brain. They're yeah. not separate.
So true.
It's just much more efficient when they're there. But in terms of my favorite book, oh my gosh, I have so many of them. The most recent one I read that was truly fascinating is called The Parallel Universe of Self. The Parallel Universe mm-hmm. of Self. I'll send you the book link. I forget the name of the author mm-hmm. though. He was talking about, again, the power of your mind placement. And there's an exercise he mentioned in the book that I want to turn into a children's book because I want children to be able to do it. Although now I'm starting to think they probably do it naturally anyway. So the example was, he said, practice seeing things from other living beings' point of view. So he said, go outside and stand under an apple tree or a tree of some kind. And you look up and you see the tree and then probably the sky behind it, right? Maybe some clouds floating by. That's, you're looking at it from your own perception. Then he said, in your mind's eye, go into the apple that has dropped to the ground and then look up from the eyes of the apple. Then you will see your own body far. Then the sky is way behind you mm-hmm. and the tree right above it, right? From the point of view of the apple. And then switch to the point of view of the cloud. So now you're up there looking down. Now you're in the mm-hmm. sky. Everything is a bird's eye view of maybe your house, the top of your head, the apple beneath, you know, by your feet, maybe the top of the tree. And then it's an exercise you can continue. You can then go into the eyes of a bird that's flying by. So now you're in motion. Maybe then go into the eyes of a squirrel. And that change of perception and point of view allows your mind to stay open, because many people, especially adults, get stuck looking at the world through only one pair of lens, which is very little if we're very tunnel visioned. So I love that exercise. I think it's a fascinating book. It's not religious. It's purely talking about mind perception. And let me know if you pick it up and you read it. I'd love to discuss it with you.
I will try it. Definitely. I wanted to give you my favorite book on that, but I always forget the title. It sounds a bit like Trainspotting, but it's not. I will look it up and send you the link. It's awesome.
Look it up.
It's about pendulums and how energy creates something like a tornado. And if you're aware of it, you can step out. If not, and you can use these pendulums. They are negative and positive from whatever side of view you're looking at it and these kind of things. I really think that helped me getting out of a lot of energy sucker situations I wasn't even aware I'm in. So I love it a lot. Yeah, let me know. So we are almost at the end of this episode. What is on your to-do list? Because you have so many projects and I love them all. And I'm always like, oh my God, I wish I could move to the other side of the world to be in your time zone, because you have book reading, a club for women, and you have all these cool things. And I was like, wait, it's too late, too early, too late, too early. So let me know, what exactly are you working on right now? And what's on your to-do list for the next maybe months?
Yeah, Orange Hatter Book Reading Club. I started a different session for my friends in Europe. So I do have a midday session at 1:30. So it will be 6:30 your time. And it's Monday nights for you, 6:30 your time. And it starts next Monday. And we're reading the book called Fia Food. So we're talking about health and nutrition and, yeah, Bitcoin. That's going to be a really good one. We just finished it with my Wednesday night group, which would have been middle of the night for you. So that didn't work. But because there was enough interest, I created a specific daytime group for my European friends. On Wednesday nights, for those of us, your audience who live in North America, we start late. It's 8:30 Eastern Standard, because I want to help the parents who have to drive their kids to and from activities to still be able to participate. And we're reading the book called The Big Print. So those two things are coming up. In terms of my Orange Hatter retreat this year, I'm telling all my Orange Hatter sisters to please meet me at Bitcoin Alaska. I'm going to be speaking there. I'm in charge of women's activity, especially in reaching the local women. So the more Bitcoiner sisters we have there to share information, the better. It is over July 4th weekend, and it will be a small intimate group. And we have so many activities planned to enjoy the local. We're going to be in Juneau, Alaska. So we're going to be enjoying the local nature, cultural experiences with the local indigenous people. And then of course, money education. Sky is doing an entire day of workshop for people new to this whole idea of Bitcoin and money literacy, literally like a whole day of workshop. So come, students are free. So they don't even have to pay. Only their parents have to pay. So bring the whole family. And we've got things for adults. We've got things for children. We've got or students. We have things for children. We have things for people who just want to hang out in the town while their spouse is at the conference. So it's meant for the entire family. So I'm telling all my Orange Sister friends, please come and support us in Alaska. Plus, it's going to be amazing. It's on my bucket list to go to Alaska. And here I get invited to go. Oh, yes. I'm so excited. You got to come. You got to come, Alex.
It's so much about energy. Yeah.
Yes, about energy. July 4th. And next week, I'm going to be in Nashville, and I'm going to be speaking at the On Conference, the Meet Premier On Conference in Nashville. It'll be located at Bitcoin Park. And I'm going to be speaking on the topics that we just covered, which is before you teach your kids about money literacy, let's make sure the foundation is really nice and firm. Let's not skip building the foundation of your relationship with them, with your children, helping them build their inner self-confidence and helping them see how powerful they are in ways they can make a difference in the world. And then we tell them that our monetary system is messed up and look for solutions such as Bitcoin, you know?
That's good, actually. So that's really good. Yeah.
And another thing I'm very, very excited about is I just became an ambassador for Daylight Computer. And Daylight Computer was developed by a guy who's also a Bitcoiner, and he wants kids and people to be able to enjoy the power of technology without the negative side, the flip side of the addictiveness of technology. And it is like an iPad that has paper quality, and you can use it outside. So one of the things that I kind of dislike about my day is I'm on the computer working 12, 14 hours a day, and I'm stuck inside in a bad posture. I'm not in the sun. I'm not grounding. But if I take it outside, I can't see. And you have the blue light and you have the flickering of the light. So Daylight Computer takes all of those things away. And I just became an ambassador for them. So I'm going to tell that I'm going to talk about it everywhere I go. But I wish I had that for my kids when they were in school, because I cannot tell you how many times I got into a negative energy exchange. I'll just call it that. Negative energy exchange with my son, because he was so drawn to the technology and I hated that he was in front of his screen all day long. So we would get into these fights, and then afterwards I would say, I don't like what computers are doing to my relationship with you. How do we solve this? And we never had any way to solve it. But now we have Daylight Computer. So I want to tell all the parents out there, yes, let your kids be involved in technology, because that is the wave of the future. It is not going to go away. You can't keep them as living like Amish people. But how do we remove the harmful effects of technology? Try Daylight Computer. So I will let you have, I'll send you a link. And if you use my link, you get $25 off of their first product, which is called DC1. And they've been out of stock for a year because people are so excited about it. And they just got their shipment in. Nice. Yeah. So I'm very, very excited about that.
That is really cool. That is pretty cool, really. So can I share the link? Then I will put it in the description of the podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I think a lot of parents should look out for that. Yeah, because that is my pain point. I love technology. I love that my kid loves technology, but I hate the impact, like the negative side. So this sounds really cool. We'll look into it. Nice. Thank you so, yeah. so much for being on my show again. And I hope you will be on my show again. I will invite you over in a couple of weeks.
Thank you for having me on. I'm always, always happy to hear, to be here and talk about education, parenting, and energy stuff.
Energy. Nice. Thank you so much. Really cool. I mean this.
Hi, it's Alex, your host and also the manager of Freedom Kids. If you are looking for a way to break free from rigid classrooms and raise free-thinking kids in a thriving community, this is for you. At Freedom Kids, we are building a network of decentralized, self-sufficient towns where families can live in freedom, safety, and connection with nature. Our learning approach is real life, hands-on, and tailored to each child with partnerships like Prisma, Khan Academy, Kubrio, and the Socratic Experience, plus an umbrella school for legal homeschooling support. And for all the families relocating from restrictive countries, our legal support and community-driven Freedom Relocation Toolkit will help you with every step of your way. So, are you ready to reset the way you live? Join us. Join the Freedom Movement. You will find all the details to the project in the description of this episode and the general podcast. I'm really looking forward to see you there.
Unschooling mit meiner Mama. Ich mache hier nicht mit. Sie hat mich dazu gezwungen. Das müssen wir aus dem Hintergrund reinschneiden. Sie hat mich gezwungen.